Hi, everybody. I'm Rob from Trinity Streetsville. Here at Trinity, we're just a group of ordinary people learning to follow Jesus in our own day. Hey, Christmas seems like a funny time to be talking about a funeral, right? Christmas is about a birth, not a death. And yet, as Ebenezer Scrooge learns, Christmas is the perfect time for a funeral. All of us will experience a natural death, but we also have the opportunity to die to ourselves. What does that mean and how do we do it? Well, stick around and let's find out.
Our first reading is from Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 11. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Our second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The word of the Lord.
In my first few years as a parish priest, I would say in the first 4 or 5 years, I must have done about 70 funerals. I don't know what was going on at this church. There was a lot of the people that we did funerals for were members of the church, but many more were just kind of like, you know, friends of brothers, you know, friends, and so there was some of that too. But when you do that many funerals, it's almost a guarantee that every month of the year from January through to December, you're going to have a funeral going on. Now, I have to say that actually, since I've come to Trinity, I'm very glad to report that I haven't done nearly as many funerals here at Trinity as I did at this other place. But I still have learned a very important lesson. And the lesson is that at some point, you're going to end up doing a funeral during the Christmas season. You're going to end up doing a Christmas funeral. And as some of you, I should say, some of you know this better than me. You've experienced this firsthand, and you know what it's like to go to a funeral around Christmas. And it's wrong. It doesn't feel right. Because Christmas in our minds is all about a birth, not a death. And Christmas is a time for festivities, not for saying farewell to people. And so, you know, a funeral sometimes feels like that unwanted guest at a Christmas party that you're having. And you're like, why are you here? Get out of here. You know, no one invited you. So on the one hand, we would say that, you know, a funeral doesn't feel like it really belongs at Christmas. Or does it? And I should just acknowledge off the top, most of you probably didn't come to church this morning on the Sunday before Christmas expecting to hear a sermon that has so much to do with death and funerals. But actually, there is a greater connection between Christmas and death than we might think. Take, for example, one of my favorite Christmas carols. This is What Child Is This? What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? Whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping. It's lovely. Merry Christmas. But then you get to another verse later on, the last verse, and it says, nails, spear shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail the word made flesh, the babe, the son of Mary. Nails, spears, cross. Merry Christmas. Or try this one on for size. We all love good old We Three Kings. One of the kings says, born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again, king forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Merry Christmas. And then another king sings, myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume, breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in a stone-cold tomb. Merry Christmas? Myrrh, turns out, is a spice used to embalm dead bodies, like at funerals. Even Hark the Herald Angels Sing says, Jesus was born that man no more may die. The theme of death is found all throughout Christmas. There's no avoiding it. Christmas isn't just about a birth. There's also this thing going on with death, especially the death of Jesus. And actually, if you go to Germany, city of Hamburg, there's a church there called St. Peter's. And there's this beautiful kind of behind the altar, there's this big kind of display of all these panels and artwork. And one of the panels has a picture of the Annunciation, a very Christmassy scene where Mary is told by the angel that she is going to give birth to the Christ child. And in that picture, it's wonderful. There's even a beam of light coming out of heaven going right down onto Mary's womb. And Jesus, a little baby Jesus, is riding the beam of light into Mary's womb, right? It's very Christmassy, right? But then you zoom in on the photo, and what you notice is that little baby Jesus is already carrying a cross as he comes into Mary's womb. He's preparing to die from the moment of his birth, right? Death and Christmas, funerals and Christmas. Well, there is a famous story about a man who came face to face with death at Christmas time. And that story is A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, and that man is Ebenezer Scrooge. And today we're going to be wrapping up this 4-week Advent teaching series that we've been using Dickens' A Christmas Carol to help us hear the Christmas story in a bit of a new way. And Scrooge has met three ghosts so far. First, he met the ghost of Jacob Marley, his old business partner, who warned him, Scrooge, you better change your ways, otherwise you're going to face some serious judgment. And then he met the ghost of Christmas past, who took him on a trip down memory lane and showed him some of his memories, both the painful ones, but also the pleasurable ones that shaped him into the person he was. And then last week, we talked about the ghost of Christmas present, who opened up Scrooge's eyes to see both the blessings and the needs that were right under his nose the whole time. And now today, it is the ghost of Christmas future, or what Dickens calls the ghost of Christmas yet to come, who is going to confront Scrooge with the reality of, get this, death. Now, while death may seem kind of weird to us, you have to understand, for Charles Dickens, it was not. In 19th century Victorian England, the average life expectancy for somebody was like 40 years old. And child mortality was extraordinarily high. Funerals were very visible in public events. They were happening all the time. And people mourned and wailed and wept very, very openly for all to see. Even Charles Dickens himself, when he was young, he saw a number of his own siblings die as children. He wore a ring on his finger, that ring that used to belong to his sister-in-law, who also died, as a way of remembering her. So you see, death shaped shaped his life probably more than it shapes ours. And it definitely shaped his writing, and especially A Christmas Carol. For example, do you know what the very first line of A Christmas Carol is, if you read the book? The very first line? It's this: Marley was dead. That's the first line. Merry Christmas. He was as dead as a doornail. Right? And then you read a little further and this theme of death just continues, right? We hear how Scrooge was deeply, deeply wounded by the death of his sister Fan. And then you read a little further and Scrooge's nephew says this weird line where he says something like, "We are all just fellow passengers to the grave." And then, of course, the climax of the whole story takes place when Scrooge sees his own death. He sees his own funeral. He sees his own gravestone, right? Merry, merry Christmas to us all. But there is a very deep truth here that we cannot miss. Dickens is teaching us something. It's something that the Bible teaches us as well, and that is that each of us has an opportunity to die, but not just once, twice. A Christmas Carol is the story of Scrooge's two deaths, his two funerals. And the same is true for each of us. We all have the chance to die, not just once, but twice. You see, the first death is the physical death that we all face. The second is a spiritual death. It's a death to the old self. And Scrooge doesn't just experience his earthly death, but he also experiences the death of the person that he used to be. He experiences himself dying even while he's still alive. So you see, this Christmas story is ultimately about two ways to die. It's about two different types of funerals. Now, this may sound confusing, so let me clarify. You see, Ebenezer Scrooge and you and me, we will all die a natural death, an earthly demise. This is the deal that God made with us when he created us. He said, "You guys are dust, and to dust you're going to return." Actually, at every funeral, we say those words. At every funeral, the priest stands up and says, "Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust." You know, the book of James says that the book of James says you are a mist. Your life is here, and then it's gone. And then the book of Hebrews says people are destined to die. So that's the natural death. That's the death that we all will die one day. But the Bible also speaks of a different kind of funeral, a different kind of death. You see, while we're still living, God invites each of us to die to ourselves, to die to our old ways, to die to our old identities, to put to death the person that we used to be and instead become someone entirely different in Jesus Christ. Paul experienced this second death, and he wrote about it. He said, "I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live." He's dead. But Christ lives in me. Two kinds of deaths, two kinds of funerals. So today, I want to do one of the most Christmassy things ever. I want us to go to a funeral. I want us to attend not one funeral, but two funerals. Let's attend both of Scrooge's funerals. The first one, the natural one, the physical one. But let's also attend his second one, the spiritual one, the death to self, the death that leads to life. And as you're going to see, these two funerals are very, very different. So let's begin with Scrooge's first funeral, right? The ghost of Christmas yet to come comes along and shows Scrooge what it's going to finally be like when he breathes his last breath and when he kicks the bucket, right? What is that going to be like for Scrooge, his physical death? Well, the first thing that we notice is that Scrooge's physical death is overshadowed by this looming sense of fear. Scrooge finds death very, very scary. As soon as the ghost shows up, he is terrified by what the future holds. Look at this.
"I am in the presence of the spirit of Christmas yet to come. And you're going to show me shadows of things that have not yet happened, but will happen. Spirit of the future, I fear you more than any other specter I've seen. But even in my fear, I must tell you, I am too old. I cannot change. It's not that I am impenitent. It's just that I... Oh, wouldn't it be better if I just went home to bed? No. Lead me then.
Now, why does Scrooge fear this spirit more than all the rest? You know, he's not alone, because many people fear death. It's called thanatophobia. And a lot of people are scared of dying. And it could be that it's more that they just fear the unknown. It could be that they fear that they've left some things unfinished in their life. It could be that death scares them because they fear being forgotten. Or it could be that death scares us, not so much death, but just the dying process is what makes us afraid. I don't know, whatever it is, I think Scrooge's fear of death is something that many, many people feel. So that's the first thing we notice about Scrooge's first funeral, his earthly physical death. It's overshadowed by this fear. But secondly, it's also overshadowed by a legacy of greed. Do you guys know what a legacy is? A legacy is what we leave behind when we're gone. A legacy is the impact that our lives made on others and on the world. And Scrooge's legacy, guess what? It was a legacy of greed and self-interest, right? In fact, here's a couple businessmen who are discussing Scrooge's death and his legacy.
Very well, then. Who's the worst for the loss of a few things
okay,
last...
Sorry, back. I got the wrong clip there. Okay, this is... I don't know if I got the right clip there or not, but this is a lady then, and she is talking about witnessing Scrooge's death. Hold on, let me see if I can fast forward to the end. No, that's not right either. What's going on here? There it is. That's the one I want. No, that's not the one I want. Ron, are you doing that or am I doing that?
No, he's dead.
Okay, hold on. Whoa. What's going on here? Hold on. We're just going to watch this one.
Who's the worst for the loss of a few things like these? Not a dead man, I suppose.
No, indeed.
If he wanted to keep them after he was dead, why wasn't he amiable in his lifetime? If he had been, he'd have had somebody with him when he was struck with death, instead of lying gasping out his last there alone by himself.
Yeah, there never was a truer word spoke. It was a judgment on him.
Okay, so there you see these people are, see what they're all holding? They're all holding like little bags of stuff they've stolen from Scrooge's bedroom like after he died, right? Scrooge's legacy was one of greed. And so when he died, everyone just felt like, well, let's just steal back from him. He spent his whole life taking and taking and taking. So now we're gonna take back. It's our turn to take some stuff back from him. Okay, so that is the second thing that we learned. His legacy was first, it was overshadowed. It was overshadowed by fear. Secondly, there was this sense of greed that surrounded it. And third thing is that it was, frankly, a lonely, lonely death. You heard that lady just say, Scrooge breathed his last breath completely alone. There was nobody at his deathbed. And now listen to these businessmen. This time I got it right. These businessmen are going to talk about how nobody really wants to be with this guy, even in death.
No, I don't know much about it either way. I only know he's dead.
When did he die?
Last night, I believe.
What was the matter with him? I thought he'd never die.
So did he, I dare say.
What's he done with all his money?
Left it to his company. Where else? He didn't leave it to me. That's all I know.
Well, the funeral won't cost much, that's certain. On my soul, I can't think of anyone who'll go to it.
I don't mind going, if there's a luncheon provided. But I must be fed, or else I stay at home.
So they'll only go to Scrooge's funeral if there's a lunch provided. I can't think of anybody who would actually go to his funeral, they say. You know, when you read an obituary in the paper, one of the most common things you read is that so-and-so passed away, surrounded by their loved ones. Being with others at the time of our death provides us with comfort and consolation, both for the person who's dying, but also for the person who has, you know, the people who are left behind. Being with people is a really important part of the dying process, but Scrooge, as we learn, had no one visiting him when he was sick, no one present when he died, nobody going to his funeral, and nobody visiting his gravestone except himself. That could be the greatest scream in the history of cinema, right? Scrooge's first funeral. This is his first funeral. His physical death, his natural death, is summed up in that horrible scream, right? It's marked with looming fear, a legacy of greed, and loneliness. It is not the death that any of us would want to choose for ourselves. And yet that's the point of this story. In some ways, that's the point. In a way, Scrooge did choose this. In Romans 6:23, we are told that for the wages of sin is death, meaning that in some way, Scrooge earned this death. That's what wages are. Wages are what you get paid for the stuff that you do. And so for his life of sin, in his life of greed, in his life of selfishness and isolation, Scrooge earned this death, this fearful, meaningless, and lonely death. You reap what you sow, the Bible tells us. And Scrooge's first funeral is this a vivid picture of the consequences of what happens when you live a life apart from God. Now, if the sermon ended there, you would all go home deeply, deeply depressed, and we'd have a horrible Christmas. Bah humbug, right? But there is good news. And that is Scrooge's story doesn't end with his first funeral. Right, the ghost of Christmas yet to come shows him the possibility of a second funeral, one that he can choose. And here's the amazing thing. When we choose this second death, we are made new in Jesus. And it changes everything. Now, I think I've pinpointed the moment in the movie when Scrooge's second funeral actually takes place. This is the moment when he dies to his old self. And I want you to look at his posture and listen to his words here.
Pity me and help me. Help me to sponge away the writing on this stone if I repent. And I do repent, I do repent. I'll make good the wrongs I've done my fellow men. And I'll change. I'm not the man I was. I'm not the man I was. Believe me, I'm not the man I was. I'm not the man I was. I'm not the man I was.
Now, did you hear the words he spoke there? They were very, very important words. The first thing he said was, pity me. In other words, he admits his brokenness. He admits that he needs mercy and that he cannot save himself. Pity me, he says. The second thing he says is, help me. He admits he doesn't have the power within himself to save himself. He needs strength from outside. He needs an outside helper to supply him with the strength he lacks. Third, he says, I repent. And to repent is to confess your sins and then to turn away from those sins. And finally, he says, I'm not the man I was. You see, he is becoming something new. In this moment, he is becoming something new. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new is here. That moment, that was Scrooge's second funeral. He's died. You saw him die. Now he's been reborn. Now, some skeptics will say, yeah, Rob, but listen, anybody could say those things. It doesn't necessarily mean that they've changed, and I would actually agree. How do we know if someone really has died and if Christ really has taken up residence within them and if they're really alive in a brand new way? Good question. And there are telltale signs that this happens. The first thing you can always tell that this has happened in someone's life is that there is some sudden joy in their life that wasn't there before. The looming fear in Scrooge's life is now gone, and it's been replaced by joy. Look at this.
I don't know what to do. I'm as light as a feather. I'm as happy as an angel. I'm as merry as a schoolboy. I'm as giddy. I'm as giddy as a drunken man. I've never... A Merry Christmas, Ebenezer! You old humbug!
You see, he says he's as light as a feather. Why is he as light as a feather? Because the burdens of his sin, the burden of his guilt and shame, all that stuff that weighed him down, it has now been forgiven and dealt with. And so now he can be light. He can be full of joy. Jesus said that there will be more rejoicing in heaven, more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. You see, repentance and joy always go together. Now, I want to say that when we repent, and when we go through this death and rebirth, it doesn't necessarily mean that all our problems are solved and we wake up the next morning and we're dancing around and we no longer have any kind of issues to resolve. No, our challenges don't simply disappear. But what does appear is deep, unshakable joy, which is a sure sign that God is at work in someone's life, bringing renewal and changing their heart, even in the midst of life's messiness. So that is the first sign that we know this is a legit transformation, is that there's sudden joy. The second sign that means that this is really happening in Scrooge is his stunning generosity. Right? Scrooge, immediately upon his conversion, he starts giving away money. He gives his housekeeper a gold coin. He gives her a raise as well. He yells at a boy out the window and offers him a tip for some little task he asked him to do. And then he goes and he buys the biggest turkey in town and he sends it to his employee, Bob Cratchit.
Mr. Robert Cratchit, 2 Porter Street, Camden Town.
That's you, Robert. Leastways, there's no one else I know of.
I know who sent it.
Who?
Mr. Scrooge.
Oh, dear, whatever made you think it might be him?
I don't know. I just think it.
What would make Mr. Scrooge take such leave of his senses suddenly?
Christmas?
I've never seen anybody handle a turkey quite so tenderly. But generosity is the hallmark of conversion, right? I mean, you know, think of the story of Zacchaeus. Remember the story of Zacchaeus? When Zacchaeus encountered Jesus and was changed, what was the first thing he did? He gave away his possessions. He paid back all those who had wronged him, or he wronged. Why? Because when you've received God's lavish and generous love and his undeserved mercy into your life, you how can you not be eager to extend that same generosity and that same mercy to those around you, right? So Scrooge's conversion was real. His rebirth was real. There was a sudden joy. There was this stunning generosity. And thirdly, there was strengthened relationships. A sure sign that the old person has died and the new life of Christ has arrived is that relationships get healed in your life and reconciliation starts to take place. For Scrooge, not only did he become like a second father to Tiny Tim, but he actually goes and he reconnects and he reconciles with his nephew's family.
Uncle Ebenezer!
Fred, is it too late to accept your invitation to dinner?
Too late? I'm delighted, delighted! My dear, look who it is!
Can you forgive a pig-headed old fool for having no eyes to see with, no ears to hear with, all these years?
Yes, you dear uncle. You've made Fred so happy.
You see, Paul said that when we are reconciled with God, then we have this new ministry of being reconciled with each other and reconciling ourselves with those around us in the world, right? And again, not all relationships get healed overnight just because the new life is born within you. But strengthened relationships are a sure sign that the love of Christ is growing in you. So there you have it, stunning joy. No, sudden joy, stunning generosity, strengthened relationship. The old Scrooge is dead. He's buried. It's no longer he who lives, but it is Christ who lives in him. And it's not just Scrooge that this can happen for, but for you and me too. Now, I warned you about this a few weeks ago, and I said there's a chance that we look at the Christmas Carol and we look at Scrooge and we laugh and we say, oh, nobody's actually like that. He's just a caricature. Ha, 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 ha. No, we all can fall into the same trap that Scrooge fell into, the trap of consumerism and materialism, especially around Christmas, spending more time on screens than with people. We too can isolate ourselves. We too can overlook the needs of the world, just like Scrooge did. And we too can hold on to the hurts of the past, and we can live a life separated from God, just like him. Therefore, just like Scrooge needed to die, we need to die. And just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too, you and me, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. This is not a fictional story about Scrooge. This is your story. You too can choose to die. You too can choose to be reborn. And why not now? I ask the question, why not now? We've already seen that Christmas is actually a pretty good time for a funeral. The baby Jesus comes to us with a cross already in his hands, ready to die for us. Are you ready to die to the old you? Are you ready to let the life of Christ live in you instead? I want to invite you. I want to invite you this Christmas to attend your own funeral. And for some of you, this idea is like pretty brand new. You've never heard this concept of dying to yourself. Others of you have been coming to church for years and years, and yeah, you've heard about it, but you've never actually done it. You've never actually prayed a prayer like Scrooge prayed, pity me, help me, I repent, I'm not the person that I was. If you're willing to pray that prayer and make that decision, then just like Scrooge, you know what? You're not going to fear death anymore. Right? Because Jesus already died for you, and you know that he rose from the dead and he's defeated death itself. So you too, if you pray this prayer, if you make this decision, you too can say like Paul said, hey, death, you know, where's your victory now? Where's your sting now, death? Death will not scare you. You no longer fear the end of life because you've already died. So now the second death holds no power over you because your life is now hidden in Christ and you can share in his resurrection, right? And secondly, if you pray that prayer, then like Scrooge, your own life will be filled with a flowing generosity because Jesus said, hey, freely, freely you've received, now freely give. God pours all his love into your life and you can pour it out into the lives of others. And if you're willing to make this decision, to die this death, then like Scrooge, you too will be reconnected with community. You will find yourself born into a new family. Scrooge went from isolation to fellowship. And when we are reborn in Christ, we're reborn into this family, this church, where we each have received the Spirit of Jesus, where we are adopted as God's children, where we can call God Father. So anyways, let's end this way. Let me ask you, are you ready to attend your own funeral this Christmas? Are you ready to let go of your old self, the parts of you that are enslaved by sin and selfishness, and rise to the new life of Christ? Whoever tries to hold on to their life, Jesus says, will lose it. But whoever loses their life for his sake will find it. So what I want to do is I want to pray Scrooge's prayer for us right now, and I want to invite you to pray it along with me. This is our opportunity to die to ourselves and be reborn this Christmas. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I come to you today and I recognize my need and I confess my brokenness. Pity me. Lord, I cannot save myself. I need your mercy and your grace to make me whole. God, I turn to you now. I turn to you and cry out, help me. I cannot walk this path alone. I surrender control. I ask you to rescue me. Give me the strength and the power that only you can provide. And Lord, I confess my sins, and I lay them at your feet. I repent. As Scrooge did, I repent of the ways I've lived apart from you. I turn away from my old life. Forgive me, cleanse me, renew me. And now, by faith, I declare I am not the person I was. I am not the person I was. I believe your promise that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. I believe today the old has gone and the new has come. Jesus, I give you my life. Now shape me, guide me, fill me with your Spirit, that I may live in joy and generosity and love in the new life you have given me. In your name, I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Trinity Sermons. This episode was recorded on December 22nd, 2024 at Trinity Church Streetsville in Mississauga, Ontario.